Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness. And, of course, you know this is a show about sex and happiness. And I have to tell you something really funny, everybody. You know, I've been doing this show for, I don't know, 6-8 years now. Before that, I was doing the Tantra Cafe show. And then I decided I was too bored by just Tantra, so I opened up the field to all of sex and how it relates to happiness. And it took me all this long to figure out that I'm a sex and happiness coach. And I'm totally rebranding myself as not just a Tantra teacher. Duh, I got bored with Tantra Cafe, and I never just realized that I wake up like sex and happiness has much more in it for me. So I'm announcing that on this show because it's the beginning of the year, and I want you all to know that I'm rebranding myself as in sex and happiness coaching. So it comes from you, it comes from me, it comes from this show. So I'm very, very excited to tell you about it. And today I have a wonderful guest who I would say adds a lot of sex and happiness to the world. He's added sex and happiness to my life, and I'm hoping that he'll add sex and happiness to your life. So let me tell you a little bit about him. Charlie Glickman is a PhD, and he's a sex and relationship coach. See, I said that. And he's a certified somatic sex educator, and he speaks at universities and conferences across North America. He works with individuals and couples over Skype and in his Seattle office. Check him out at charlieglickman.com. and makesexeasy.com. So that's how you can find him. But you don't know that you want to find him yet, but you'll know at the end of the show that you want to find him, because you'll realize that he has something to say to you more than maybe we even cover. So today, Charlie and I are going to be talking about somatic sexual healing and sexual embodiment. Charlie, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you, Lori. It is a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. It's great to have you, and it's really great to have you since I saw you recently. You were in Phoenix, and so I knew right away we had to do another show together.
Yeah, thank you. That was a real treat.
Yeah, it was a fun evening, and it was. I just felt so connected to you. It was awesome. So I said some really big words in my introduction of you. And so I want to go back and like pull those words apart a little bit so people understand, in fact, what we're going to talk about. Because I always assume that even if I know what I'm talking to, who's on my show, you know, my guest about, not everybody understands all the terminology. So let's talk first, if you would, define somatic sexual healing for me, would you?
Great. I'd be happy to.
Okay.
So, when I started as a sex educator over 20 years ago, I mostly focused on talk-based work. It was workshops, and it was writing, and it was more talk-oriented. And one of the things that I discovered over time is that there's a limit to how far talking can take you. In the same way that, you know, I could talk with you about how to cook a delicious meal, but eventually, we're going to hit a point where you have to start learning how to do it in real life. So somatic sexual healing is a lot like that. It's working with people to help them discover the embodied experience of stating their boundaries, asking for what they want, what does pleasure feel like, how do they know what feels good to them. And these might sound like really simple questions, but I've found that a lot of my clients, for example, have difficulty staying present during sex. You know, maybe they tune out, they go so deeply into a fantasy that they're lost in the movie in their head, and so they're not really present. Or maybe they are experiencing something that doesn't feel as good to them as it might, and rather than speaking up and telling their partner, hey, could you do that a little differently, they just endure and hope that things will get better. And so somatic sexual healing and somatic sex education is giving people the embodied experience to help them learn how to overcome all of these challenges. So it might be something as simple as teaching somebody different ways that they can ask for what they want. Or it might be guiding somebody through an erotic state so that they can actually stay present and centered and grounded during it rather than going into that movie in their heads.
Okay, that's great. I like that. I mean, I like what you're saying. And I first of all, I couldn't agree with you more. Talking about things is just talk.
Yeah.
You know, in high school, we had an expression, you know, the UN had a branch of the UN called NATO. And I don't even know what NATO in the UN stood for, but we used to call NATO no action, talk only.
Mm.
And it's so boring because most people talk and talk and talk, and then they don't actually live and live and live. So the distinction you just made helps me feel like you're guiding people in the living of their life, in the feeling of their life, in the experience, in the body of their life, not just talking about what it would be like if.
Exactly. And it doesn't necessarily mean that people have to have full-on erotic experiences with me. That's, you know, for example, one of the things that I've done with some of my clients, I was working with a male-female couple, helping them find better ways to communicate around touch and boundaries. And the problem they were having, this is a very common situation, the woman in this particular relationship had a lot of difficulty saying when she wanted something to be different. She expected her boyfriend to just magically know through her body language that it wasn't working for her because she had never had the experience of trying out different ways of saying it. And so we actually got to practice it, and he would touch her arm and she practiced saying to him a little softer, a little firmer, "No, I don't like that. Try doing it this way." And that's the foundation to be able to say to a partner, "Oh, I really like it when you go down on me, but when you suck too hard on my clitoris, it's actually painful. So could you do that a little softer?"
That's right? A very good example. I mean, that's just that's as straight as example as
yeah.
You could get.
And that happens a lot. That really happens a lot. It's easy to say to people, you have to talk with your partner about it. But that's like saying, "Oh, well, you have to go to yoga class and do a little stretching." Right? It works much better when you can guide somebody through the process.
That's excellent. So you make people be really – so there is talk involved. Of course there's talk. There's got to be communication. It's all communication. But wishful thinking that a person's going to read our body language – whether we're male or female, is not communicating, because that's a totally that's open to interpretation on the part of the person who's giving.
Exactly.
And then the receiver interprets it also as, "Oh, this person really doesn't love me. They're not doing what I want."
Right, because we have this myth that when we love someone, they magically know what kind of sex we like. That would be like saying, "Oh, well, if my wife really loved me, they would know exactly what kind of Chinese food I want them to order." Right, when we're getting Chinese takeout. So, But there is this myth. And so a lot of the somatic sex education that I do is helping people actually find those skills. There's a reason why when people are learning to become pilots, they get put in a flight simulator. And when people are learning how to be chefs, they take classes in a real kitchen. Because we learn best when we are in a similar frame of mind as the experience that we're going to be doing. It's why when people are learning first aid skills, they don't give them 20 minutes to put on a Band-Aid and take it nice and slow and easy and think about it. You actually want the paramedic in training to be stressed out while they're learning, because that's going to simulate the real life experience. It doesn't do you any good to learn how to do things when you're calm, and then when you're in a real life stressful situation, all of that goes out the window. So my job as a somatic sex educator is to help people learn the skills in a way that that simulates the real life experience as much as possible so that they can actually use those skills in real life.
Well, this is great. A question pops in because I'm trying to picture it. And I think it also relates to sexual embodiment, which is, are the people actually having sex with you present when you're teaching them also how to speak about it? Or is it a conversation? This is my where my mind's going. Or is it a conversation where you meet with the one partner and you say, well, what is it that your partner does or doesn't do well in sex that you were wishing he or she would do different? And then you meet with the other partner to find it out, and then you have the conversation with them. Or are you actually in there observing that the person's holding their breath and they're going, you know, and they're doing, you know, how is it that you coach them?
Yeah. So people aren't having sex while I'm guiding them through it. Although there are some somatic sex educators who do that work. That's not what I'm drawn towards doing.
Okay.
You know, there's exercises and practices that we can do that are fully clothed. Like I mentioned, the touching on the arm. But I'm also a trained sexological body worker. Sexological body work is a training that was developed by Joseph Kramer a while back in San Francisco. And in sexological body work, we do hands-on erotic work. There is genital touch, depending on what the client needs. And there's different ways that we can do that. For example, there's a modality that we sometimes do called pleasure mapping, which is erotic massage. It's all hands. I stay fully clothed, and all touch is one way, and I'm wearing gloves. So there's a very clear boundary and container for this work. But with pleasure mapping, you know, it's amazing how many people don't know how to describe what kinds of sexual stimulation feel good to them.
Hold on a second, Charlie. You know what? This is a great place for us to take a break, and we can come back and actually talk about how this mapping goes, because I feel this to be a gift, like a New Year's gift to people to learn about for themselves. I don't know. I just got like very excited when you started talking about this.
Great.
So we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to come back with Charlie Glickman, who is a somatic sexual healing expert. He works with sexual embodiment, and he's just talking to us about pleasure mapping, and I got excited. So we're gonna talk about that as soon as we come back from this break.
If you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, your host. And today I'm talking with Charlie Glickman. And, you know, Charlie is an expert in sexual healing and sexual embodiment. And he's a PhD. He also is certified in sexological bodywork that was developed by Joseph Kramer. And we're just talking about pleasure mapping. And so, Charlie, that just really excited me, and I want to talk about that. So you're wearing gloves, you have a boundary, and you're mapping with people on what it is they're considering possibly for the first time, knowing what gives them pleasure. That's my picture.
Well, the thing that often happens for people is they know when something feels good, but they don't know what their partner is doing. And so what I mean by that is there's a really big difference between saying to a partner, you know, do that thing you did that time. You remember we went to that romantic bed and breakfast, right? And saying to them, I like it when you do little circles on my clitoris with your fingertip, or I really like it when you do a twisting motion on the head of my cock with your hand. And so in pleasure mapping, the goal is not to have an orgasm. If orgasm happens, that's totally fine. But the goal is to actually learn what feels good and what doesn't for this particular person, because we're all different. Mm-hmm. And then I'm able to put into words what someone likes so that then they can turn around and tell a partner. And so some of the things, you know, somebody might discover, or we might discover in this work, oh, I really like firm circles on my G-spot, or I really like having my labia massaged. I really like light touch on the head of my penis, but I like really firm squeeze on the testicles.
So I get that part. That's the person who's receiving. Mm-hmm. Actually having a conversation about, I like this, but they might not know what the person is doing. This requires a conversation when the person's doing the thing that says, wait, stop, what are you doing now?
Exactly. Right. And the value in pleasure mapping is that it's there's two pieces. One is that, okay, now this person has learned what works for them today. But our sexuality is always changing. There are things that you'll like when you're 50 that you didn't like when you were 15. That's just how bodies work.
That's so correct.
Yeah. So the challenge then is actually learning the skills to be able to say, okay, well, that thing that used to be my favorite doesn't really work anymore. So let's play around and experiment and find something new.
So this is the alternative to saying, honey, you don't turn me on anymore. I want a divorce.
Right. That's a whole separate thing. not getting the sex that feels good to your body is not inherently a sign that the relationship is bad. It just means that something isn't working sexually. If you can talk about it and you can find something that works better, then that's a completely different situation.
So what I love about this conversation is that it brings hope to people who feel hopeless, because people have been so suppressed in their sexual expression altogether. And then in the talking about sexual expression. It's like a twofold thing here. And then it's a threefold thing because it actually involves touch then saying, okay, this is good. This works. No, that's not so good. That doesn't work. This is, you know, it's opening up an arena, which you'd think, you know, human beings have been on the planet for thousands of years, and you'd think that they'd be able to talk about this and actually have the communications and then, you know, go to work on it. And so many people are so shy and suppressed and have been taught to not talk about it.
Oh, it's hard. It's really hard. And there's shame and there's triggers and there's trauma and assault, and there's people taking it personally. You know, this is one of those things, you know, people used to joke back before everybody had GPS in their phones. You know, we used to joke about how many guys would rather be lost than stop and ask for directions.
Because, correct.
Right. But the same thing happens in bed. A lot of people, but particularly men, take it really personally if a partner says, oh, I need you to do something different. Because, you know, a lot of guys get very ego driven around this idea that, oh, I know what I'm doing. I know I'm a good lover. And so having somebody tell them, hey, could you do this a little differently, can actually be quite challenging. So it's not just teaching people how to give that feedback. It's also teaching people how to receive that feedback.
Yes, and I can see that this is such an important skill. I can feel the line of demarcation in my body, and I can also know about it. Until I started to take Tantra and study it, which started a little over 20 years ago, like, I loved sex, but I wasn't able to talk about it. And if I had a partner who just wasn't naturally good to my standards, I just never saw that person again instead of having the conversation. You know, I was really attracted to you, and then, like, you kind of sucked in bed. You know?
Yeah. And the thing is, those are skills that most people can learn. Now, whether it's your job to teach them that, you know, that's up to you to decide, because that's going to depend on your relationship to them. But, you know, I think at least knowing that you have the choice of teaching somebody those things, even in a one night stand, you know, being able to say to a partner, you know, that's a little too hard, can you do that softer? Or that's a little too soft, can you do that harder?
Right. Well, if you're committed yourself already to the one night stand, you might as well get pleasure from it. That's the way I look at it.
Exactly.
The other thing I really like about what you mentioned, Joseph Kramer's work and his work with Annie Sprinkle, is in lingam massage and yoni massage, which I do quite often, and I do classes in it, especially when I take people away to hedonism, and I just recently did it at Desire Resort in Cancun. I love that they took the time to name all the strokes something that has some fun in it.
Yes.
So I could say to someone, and I think before we started the interview, I told you I just recently was with a partner who had never experienced anal. And first I did Joseph Kramer's lingam massage. Mm-hmm. And so I would say to him, now I'm doing this. Is it good like this, or do you want it harder or softer or slower or faster? And then he would say, oh, that's so good. Like, you know, no one's ever touched me like that. And
so here's a way that people could do something similar at home. Actually, can I
interrupt? Sure, go ahead.
Which is, you mentioned Joseph Kramer's lingam massage video. You can find his videos at eroticmassage.com. It's a subscription site, but, you know, you can, I also really like Jaya's Red Hot Touch videos, which are also available on that site. And then what you can do is have an experiment session with your partner. And the goal is to learn information. The goal is not to have an orgasm. So, you know, if you try 10 or 15 different massage strokes, whether it's on their cock or their pussy, whatever you're doing, and you discover two things that felt really good, now you've got two new skills for the next time you're actually having sex. And the way that you can calibrate this is you're doing the technique and you ask your partner to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 is, oh, wow, that feels amazing, don't ever stop. And 1 is, let's put on Netflix. And it doesn't mean that a four is bad, because sometimes you need something to cool down. Like, in fact, the best sex happens when we go from an 8 to a 3 to a 7 to a 2 to a 9 to a 5. It's the up and down. Just like being on a roller coaster. It's just up, down, rather than all up or all down.
Sure, and it's also the element of surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
And not being able to anticipate, you know.
Exactly.
Exactly. And the other thing, you just reminded me of something, which is, I usually tell this to men, that women like a lot of variety, and just because something worked last time or the last five times doesn't mean that on the sixth time it's going to work. Like, women get bored a lot. They like change. I don't know if men feel the same way, but I've talked to a lot of women about changing things up and the element of surprise. So I like what you're saying about 1 to 5 to 7 to 2.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so cool because it changes everything.
Well, and it is tricky because, you know, there are women who want that variety, and there's women who want exactly the one thing that always works for them, and there's women who want to change it up because they get overstimulated, and there's women who, if you change it up, they get super frustrated. And so my job as a somatic sex educator is to help someone figure out what their pattern is in their body. And it's not good or bad. It's just what is.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like spicy food. Some people like milder food. Some people want to eat the same meal, you know, four times a week. Other people need a lot more variety than that.
That's great.
And so if you can tell a partner, this is my pattern, then you can work with it, but you have to identify the pattern. And so that's a lot of what I do as a sex educator.
Oh, now I want a session.
We could do that.
I want to know my pattern. That's great. Well, we're going to take another break here. When we come back, I want to talk about when I last saw you and what you were demonstrating, which had to do with anal play, which is like, you're known in the world for that particular subject. I mean, you're known for all these things, but you're like the world's expert.
Awesome.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm talking to Charlie Glickman today, who is really a wonderful educator, a great person. And he really knows something about sexuality, about the body, about touch, about feeling, in what we're calling somatic sexual healing. And he has a lot to say about it. So we're going to go to one of his best known subjects when we come back, and that's anal play. And for some of you, you might be at the edge of your seat because you're going, oh, I wondered if we would ever talk about that. And for some of you, you're going, oh my God, that's so taboo. I can't even believe I'm listening. But I invite you to listen. And I invite you to listen with an open ear and an open heart. So we'll be right back. I'm inviting you to open to the path of true love, power, and freedom. Did you ever stop to think that love is your birthright? That you don't need to earn it or prove it, you just need to live it. If you're ready to radically enliven your sexuality and dive deep into the heart of your wild, erotic nature, then I'm inviting you to join us for the Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Experience. I'll be leading ISTA Level 2 in Colorado, August 21st to the 28th. And I'll be leading ISTA Level 1 in Delhi, India, December 12th to the 18th. For more information on how to join me at either of these, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com. Either way, I would love for you to consider this week-long, amazing, spiritual, sexual, shamanic experience. Please consider this seriously, because love is your birthright.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Ladihan today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Ladihan CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When?
October 15th to the 22nd, 2016.
Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica. This is Sex and Happiness. And I'm Lori Handlers, and I'm interviewing Charlie Glickman. And I'm having really a good time. I'm very excited about the things Charlie's talking about, and so much so that in the last segment I told him that I'd like to have a somatic experience with him where we did pleasure mapping, because I don't know what my patterns are. I mean, I'd like to be able to just say, this is my pattern. That seems so cool. So, Charlie, either the next time I'm in Seattle or the next time you're in Phoenix, I want a session.
I would love that.
Book a session early and often. So, anyway, before we go into anal play, would you say what the website is again where people could find Joseph's Linga Massage or Jaya's Red Hot Touch Massage? What is that website?
It is eroticmassage.com, and it's a subscription site, so you can, you know, get a subscription for a month, for 3 months, work your way through the videos. It's an amazing resource and a really fun way to get some fun ideas for what you want to explore.
Yeah, sounds terrific. And I've interviewed both of them before on the show, definitely Joseph a long while ago and Jaya about both of those subjects. So it just, you know, calls into memory that those people have been guests on my show before. And it sounds like a great website to check out. So let's talk about anal play. First of all, you've written a book called The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure. So that's just right there saying, you know something about anal.
I do. I know lots about anal play.
So most people have that. I'm going to say most. I think that some people may fantasize about it. Some people might be turned on by the idea of it, but I think most people have I'm not going there thing in their minds about that. I think they just, a lot of people will not allow themselves to have pleasure in their anus or around their anus. And I think people who find pleasure there are in the minority. Is that true?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, there have been lots and lots of surveys and studies. I'm always skeptical about the research about how many people do any particular sexual act because people are often not as honest with researchers as they could be. I mean, that happens. If you just did a survey asking people what their favorite soda is, some people would give you the wrong information because they would think that, you know, what information should I give this person?
Oh, I see.
Right. There's a it's a problem with sex research. It does seem like with the increase of anal play in porn, more people are trying it than ever before because we're more exposed to the idea of it. But it also means that a lot of people are doing it badly, in part because what you see in porn is not how you should be doing it in real life.
Okay, so that there's a big distinction right there. So can you say a little bit more about that? Like, if you say don't do it like that in real life, that means like jamming something into somebody's anus, I think.
Right, right. So, for example, that's one example. You know, one of the things that you will not see in porn is any kind of warm-up or preparation. It's not that it doesn't happen. They just do that before they get in front of the camera. You know, in the same way that, you know, if you're watching a football game, they might show you a clip of like 5 seconds of the athletes warming up. But they actually warm up for a lot longer than that before they get out onto the field.
So what you're saying, and I want to give this sort of factoid, Lawrence Lanoff was my guest a long time ago talking about porn, shooting porn, and he said that every porn scene, at least in a certain genre of pornography, could not last more than 5 minutes. So that's why we wouldn't see them. That's why I want to make this believable to my listeners. That's why we wouldn't see them putting on lubricant and warming a person up and getting them excited, et cetera, because that wouldn't fit into that 5 minute window of opportunity that they have to shoot a porn scene in.
Well, there's that. And there's also the fact that things that look good on camera are not necessarily how it works in real life. As an example, if you watch a cooking show, this is always my metaphor. If you watch a cooking show, the chef will say something like, have half a cup of chopped red onion, and it'll just magically be there on the counter because you don't want to sit there and watch somebody spend the next 2 minutes chopping an onion. Right, because you want to get to the good stuff. And the same thing happens in porn. They don't show you the warm-up because people get bored. I always like to say that learning to have sex from porn is like learning to drive from watching a car chase movie. You know, somebody is going to get hurt. And I actually talk to people all the time who have gotten themselves into unpleasant or uncomfortable or painful situations because they were trying to copy what they saw in porn.
Mm. Well,
and that's a thing. That's a real thing. But there aren't, you know, but coming back to your original question, you know, a lot of people have discovered the incredible erotic potential of anal play. Jack Morin's book, Anal Pleasure and Health, was the one that sort of broke the ground on that. And it's interesting because when my book partner and I wrote the book, one of the things we did was we surveyed men and we asked them, among other questions, you know, what were some of the things that kept you from trying this? You know, what were the things that held you back? And the three things that came up over and over again were, is this going to hurt? Is this going to get messy? And is this going to make me gay? I want to just point out two things here. One is that the question of is this going to hurt and what about hygiene, you know, those are technical issues, right? Those are how do I do this in a way that is safe? But I also noticed that those questions don't come up quite as much when we're talking about women on the receiving end. And I think part of that is that men have a lot more concerns around self-image, around masculinity, around their own sense of who they are, because we have this idea that to be penetrated means to give up masculine status, to lose, you know, to lose that position.
Or if I like it,
then it means something about me.
Yeah, it means something about me. It means I'm gay. It means I'm. This is something I don't know if I want to find out about myself.
Yeah, so here's two things about that I think are really relevant. A while back, the Center for Sexual Health Promotion in Indiana University, they did a survey. They asked gay men, they asked over 2,000 gay men to talk about their most recent sexual experience. And it turned out that they were having anal sex about 37% of the time. Now, I'm willing to bet that probably 99.9% of gay men have tried it, because there's much more conversation about that in the gay community. But what this highlights is that being gay doesn't mean that you're having anal sex all the time, because, you know, sometimes you're not in the mood for it, or it takes too long, or you don't want to do that with this partner, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Same thing as women who are having different kinds of sex and not always having vaginal penetration.
Yeah, exactly. Although I'm willing to bet that for women, for heterosexual couples, intercourse is probably more than 37% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's unfortunate.
that's a whole nother conversation. But the other piece, though, that I think is really relevant here is that where your nerve endings are, that determines what kinds of sexual stimulation feel good to you. And that doesn't have anything to do with who you want to have sex with.
Okay, say that again. Wait a minute. This is good.
Right. So what kind of things feel good to your body? That's because that's where your nerve endings are. Who you want to have sex with, that's your sexual orientation. And those are two different things.
That's great.
So for example, if a man and a woman are, you know, if she's wearing a strap-on dildo and he's receiving anal penetration, that is still heterosexual sex because it's a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm. And he just happens to be liking, or maybe not, but...
Yeah, but that's just what works for him.
Yeah, exactly.
And the flip side to this, of course, too, is that there's nothing wrong with being gay. So that's another piece that I think is also relevant. But... You know, the fact is that the anus is full of exquisitely sensitive nerve endings. For many people, it likes lots of different kinds of touch. And in my world, anal sex is not anal intercourse. Anal sex is any anal erotic contact. So tickling around the outside while you're giving your boyfriend a blowjob, that counts as anal sex. Anal intercourse is a subset of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody says to me, oh, I really like anal sex, I still don't know exactly what they mean.
Right. I understand, because there's so many different things that can happen, so many different things that can be done, and there's so much different stimulation. So, and also there's a whole spot inside the anus that's kind of like the G-spot. There is like the man's G-spot. I hate calling it G-spot, but I also don't like calling it sacred spot. I don't know. There's a spot in there for men that is the equivalent of what it's like to touch a woman in that place, that's different from touching the clitoris. It's inside the vagina, hidden away, and it's called the G-spot or the sacred spot. Men have that.
Right. It's the prostate.
Pardon?
It's the prostate.
The prostate.
And some people call it the P-spot, and some people call it the male G-spot. I just call it the prostate and leave it at that. But
okay.
That's me. That's all.
But women also have a spot inside them that significantly can touch their G-spot from a different angle.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, a lot of women who I've talked with have said that they really enjoy G-spot stimulation through anal penetration. And a couple of women I've talked to have said that they prefer it just because of the angle. In fact, one friend of mine told me that she has better orgasms through anal intercourse than vaginal intercourse just because of the angle that she's at.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's just the way her body is shaped. I'm not saying that that's going to work for everybody.
But here's what it does. It opens up a conversation that has more possibility in it than people just saying, oh, anal. Oh, I love anal sex, and we don't know what we're talking about or what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Just knowing that there's all these options, you could, what you said, tickling around the opening, or having penetration with a dildo, or having penetration like intercourse from a different angle, or whatever. Like, you're just opening up all these possibilities that I imagine many of my listeners have not even considered. And that's what's so important about this conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. And the fact is, you know, some people only enjoy anal stimulation when it's a side dish, right? Like, I really like anal play when I'm also using a vibrator on my clitoris, or when I'm also having my, getting a blowjob, whatever it is. And that's another thing that you won't see in most porn, because most porn anal sex is all about anal intercourse and there's nothing else going on. You know, and if for you, anal play is a side dish and you're trying to make it a main course, you're not going to be satisfied with that.
Well, this is great, Charlie. We're kind of out of time. We don't have time to explore it even more. Although I do, you know, I just want to take a couple minutes to talk about the other two concerns. One concern is it going to hurt? And the other one, is it going to get messy?
Okay.
I don't feel we can leave this conversation without saying something about those two concerns.
Okay, great. Well, the is this going to hurt? Anal play never has to hurt. If you're having discomfort, if you're having pain, it means that something needs to change, whether that means you need more lube, you need a different position, you want to use a vibrator to increase the erotic sensation. If it's hurting, you're doing something wrong. And the difficulty is that a lot of guys in particular, when they're on the giving side of anal play, they think they're going slow enough because they've slowed down from a 10 to a 7, but I really want you slow down to a 3.
Mm-hmm. That's really important.
And it makes a big difference to have your partner as turned on as they would like to be, because the more aroused we get, the more pleasurable it feels. So if you or your partner are having pain during anal play, you need to change something, whether you need to do something differently. Don't endure, because if you endure, it's going to hurt worse.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as the hygiene issue, obviously we do need to be a little bit more careful with hygiene for anal play. But it's really easy to do. Put a towel down on the bed so that you don't have to worry about, lube getting on the sheets. Put on a pair of gloves. My favorite brand is Black Dragon. They're made for tattoo artists, so they're thinner material than medical gloves. And then you don't have to worry about getting bacteria places you don't want it to get. You don't go from anal play to vaginal play without washing up first. These are not difficult things, and you can get lots of tips for both of these concerns on the book's website, prostatepleasureguide.net. That gives you an overview of it, and then, of course, the book goes into a lot more detail.
Charlie, thank you so very much for talking about taboo and for also talking about not taboo and making it so sensible. I mean, you clearly have a handle on how people need to communicate and about what and the kinds of things they need to say to each other. So I appreciate you so much for that. I think it's so needed and so necessary.
Well, thank you, Lori. And it is always a pleasure talking to you. And I look forward to the next time, either over the phone or in person.
Yes, me too. Now, I want to give people your website again. You just gave them one for the book. And just say that one again, and then I want to give them the other two sites I talked about in the beginning.
Okay. So the book is prostatepleasureguide.net. And you can also find The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure on Amazon and Kindle and Audible.
Okay, and then your other site is charlieglickman.com, which
right.
is, you spelled Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E,
mm-hmm.
Glickman, G-L-I-C-K-M-A-N.com,
right.
and makesexeasy.com. That's perfect.
Thank you. Yeah, Make Sex Easy is my coaching page. So if you're interested in coaching, I work with folks over Skype and in person. And I always offer a free 30-minute get acquainted call, because I want to make sure that I'm the right fit. And then charlieglickman.com, that's my sex education blog.
Well, this has been great, Charlie. Thank you. And everybody, this is Laurie Handlers. Please tune in next time when I'll be talking to a doctor who's helping women get their vaginal area tighter, like less stretched out from whatever. I have no idea exactly what we're going to talk about, but there's some physician that's all the rage right now in Texas, and I'm going to be talking to him. So please tune in next time. This is Laurie Handlers signing off for Sex and Happiness. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. I need sex, I got that sexual feeling.